Tonight we want to deal again with that subject, the pulling down of strongholds. Seems that God has been using the messages, and I appreciate the comments and some of the people who have said God has used the messages and has helped me in some of these areas. We've been talking about some of the distinctions of strongholds, one of them being unteachable. There are some people who are unteachable, therefore they continue with strongholds, and others being unforgiving because they will not forgive people, some being unhappy. Tonight we want to talk about being unbelieving. If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we just want to look at one verse tonight as our key verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. That's just one small verse in parentheses, but it's a powerful thing. Very powerful. Listen to what he says. For we walk by, what's the next word, Clay? What is it? Faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is the main requirement. The main requirement that every part of our Christian life is impacted by. It's so important that we understand that we have to walk by faith. In Romans 1:17, the Bible says, "The just shall live by what? Faith." The justified are going to live by faith. And the scriptures remind us over and over about that principle. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We have to understand that faith in our lives is something that God honors, and God says is a requirement that every part of the Christian life is impacted by. Now, I'll tell you who knows the importance of faith. The devil. He absolutely knows the importance of faith, how important it is. And he also knows, because of that, how unbelief can hurt the work of God. And it can hurt our impact for the glory of God. Let me give you just an explanation of what that is, the stronghold of unbelief, and how it can grow. And it can grow for several reasons. One of them is just having a spirit of fear. Having a spirit, an attitude, if you want to call it that, of fear. That can be a stronghold in our lives. When you are afraid of things, it is hard to maintain faith. We don't do a very good job of maintaining that faith when we're afraid. Peter was walking on the water. Now, let's not be too hard on him. Most of us hadn't done that. But at the same time, what caused Peter to sink in the water? Why did he go down? The Bible talks about the fact when he saw the wind boisterous, he was what? Afraid. He became afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, Lord, save me." All because Peter, the great one, got afraid on that particular occasion, even though he had experienced walking on the water. I can tell you tonight that the spirit of fear does not come from God. It never has, never will come from God, the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. I like that word better than fear. Of love, that's a better word than fear. And of a sound mind. If we want to have a sound mind, we're going to have to understand that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now, the normal word that is used is the word phobos. We get the word phobia, the Greek word, and we have phobias. But this is a different Greek word used here, and it's the same one that can be interpreted cowardice, being a coward, being cowardly. And Strong's tells us that the root word implies being a coward and being faithless. That's the etymology or the root of that word. Faithless. Not having the kind of faith that we have. Now, fearful people are faithless people. Faithful people though fearless. If you are faithful and you are faithful to do what God says and faithful to believe His word, then you're going to fear less. Now, He's not saying here not that we never have any fear. You say, well, preacher, can you live and never have any fear? And I don't think that's what God's saying. He didn't say in that case, never fear. What He said, what He implied here is don't be gripped by the spirit of fear all the time. Don't be gripped by those things. We go back again, as we so often do, to the psalmist and to David. In Psalm 56:3, listen to what he said. What time I am afraid. He must have had a little fear. He wouldn't have said that, right? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You see, there's the difference. We're going to have some fears, but we must have faith, and we must trust in the Lord like the psalmist did. Faith is trusting God more than you trust your doubts. It is trusting God more than you trust your doubts. If it is 1% more than your doubts, then you have faith, and God is going to honor that. For instance, we have the story of the father. He had a demon-possessed son, and he wanted God to heal that child. Mark 9:24, listen to how he said it. Lord, I believe. Now, this sounds very Baptistic. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. That almost sounds like a contradiction, but it isn't. He said, I believe, help my unbelief. I'm about 1% above unbelief in that, but I do believe. And I believe God honored that, don't you? God certainly took care of the matter. Now, most people aren't living right, or who aren't living right, are motivated usually by fear. I find that to be true. Most people who aren't doing the right thing or living right many times are motivated in their life by fear. And it's not so much that they want to do wrong, but it's fear. For instance, tithing. In tithing, I think the problem there is it's not that they perhaps don't want to do it. It isn't that people don't want to see missionaries go to the foreign field. Are people saved, or literature printed, or tracts printed, and all of those different things. But fear is the thing that will keep us from obeying the Lord. And sometimes it's a fear of, I won't have enough money, or I don't know where to come from, or I just don't know if I can pay my bills. You see, you got to have faith in God and believe what God says. But fear, not that you're against what the church is doing, not that you're against missions and all of that, but it's just a lack of faith in trusting God and taking God at His word. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
And that's the truth. It's the word of God. Do you know that the devil is just as happy to scare you into sin as he is to dare you into sin? He's just as happy to scare you into sin as he is to dare you into sin. Let's take another little example. Why do youth sometimes go wrong? Why do teenagers sometimes go wrong? Many times, it isn't because they want to be rebellious necessarily. Now, sometimes I think that's it, but it isn't that most of the time. And it isn't that they want to be mean or hurt many people in many cases. It isn't that they hate God or those things. But many times, it's fear. What kind of fear? It's fear about what their friends are going to think of them. They're afraid of the peer pressure. They're afraid of what their friends will think of them. Why would a young lady, why would a young Christian girl give up her purity? Why? It might be rebellion, but I don't think that's usually the case. But a lot of times it's fear. It's because they're afraid they'll lose that boyfriend. Well, if I don't cooperate with him, if I don't succumb to his desires, then I'll lose him. He won't love me anymore. Let me tell you something. If he makes that kind of requirement on you, the best thing you can do is drop him. Immediately, right there, and it won't make a snap of the finger difference in your lifetime to do without him, if that is the attitude he has. And that would carry over into many areas of the life of young people. Not that they necessarily are just so rebellious and want to be mean, is because they fear some of the peer pressure and what other people are going to think about them. And that is something that should not motivate us. Now, these are just some of the explanations. Let's talk about some of the evidences. Hopelessness is one evidence regarding the future. An evidence that you're living in fear, and that is a stronghold in your life, is sort of this attitude of a hopelessness regarding what's going to happen or regarding the future. I talk to people all the years I've heard them say, there is no way that I'm ever going to get things straightened out. I'm doomed. I'm going down the wrong path and it'll never be changed. You know what that is? That's unbelief. That's not true. God never said that for you to have that kind of attitude. How do I know that? Because of what God's Word says. If you would, turn if you can very quickly, or I'll just read it. But Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14. An Old Testament situation where God is speaking to Israel, who had sort of given up hope and acted like that they were not going to have any good future. And God said this to them, Jeremiah 29, 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." By the way, He does know what He's thinking about you tonight. "Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Notice those two words, expected end. "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." There was God's promise to them. He said, "I know who you are, I know where you are, and I've made this promise to you, and I will bring you back. I promised you I'm going to do that. And you have a good future based on my word." It is always a lie from the devil when he tries to convince you that you don't have any hope of a good future. And I meet people like that. When the devil convinces you that it's just the way it's going to be and it's never going to change, and you know you have no hope of a good future. I'm not saying to you that you're not going to have some bumps and all of that kind of thing. You will have. You will have some problems. But remember the promised end that God gives us that. He never promises us a flight that is unbumpy, but He does promise us a safe landing, doesn't He? And that is a promise of the Holy Word of God. And so we have to do it because we have to believe it because God's Word says it. Hopelessness regarding the future. If you feel that way tonight, you're not walking in faith. Somehow, God's going to work it all out. God has a plan for you. Then there's another evidence that we have a stronghold, and that would be constant worry. Look at your fingernails. No, never mind. Some people think that it's a spiritual thing to worry, I guess. Worry, somebody has said, is the interest you pay on borrowed troubles. Worry is the interest you pay on borrowed troubles. What if the car breaks down? What if the cancer comes back? What if I lose my job? What if the stock market falls? What if I lose my retirement? What if, what if, what if? The future, looking at all of that. Jesus said, we're not to be a people that worry. Turn to the book of Matthew chapter 6 just a second. Let's see what Jesus had to say about worrying about things. And I'm not putting you down. I'm trying to encourage you tonight. God doesn't want us to worry about things. In Matthew 6, 27, He asked the redundant type question, or this question, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Can you add a whole lot just by thinking it? I know there's some power positive thinkers out there that say you can, but you really, really can't. And that's what God is talking about. "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment?" That's clothing. Now He says, "I want you to think about something." What's that, Lord? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet, I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little what? Faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, he's not saying don't have a budget and a plan and all that, but he's saying don't worry about all those things, for after all these things do the Gentiles, unsaved people, seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. How many of you believe that's true? That God knows you have need of all these things. So he says, don't worry about all that stuff. But what are we to do in the place of that? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He's not saying you won't have any problems tomorrow. He's saying you've got enough today. Don't worry about it. Depend on God to take care of today's problem. Don't go over there and borrow some from tomorrow, next week, next month. That's not what God wants us to do. He didn't say don't worry because there'll be no problems. He just said don't pull problems from tomorrow into today. And if you do have some tomorrow, know what he's already promised, he'll take care of them tomorrow. And if you do have some next month, he'll take care of them next month, and he'll prove himself to be God. Just like he takes care of the sparrows and the flowers, God will take care of you. You see, worry demonstrates a lack of faith. What it's saying is, God, we do not trust you. We do not believe that you'll do what's best. We have to trust him. And we know if we believe what the Word of God says, he'll do what's best. Years ago, there was a little poster out that had a panda in the woods. And that panda was holding a bamboo shoot. I don't know if any of you remember that, but under that it had this caption. And I like this. It says, don't tell me worry doesn't help. The things I worry about never happen. Amen. Some of you are going to have to think about that. It's going to tax your brain a little bit, but run it over two or three times. I'll repeat it one more time. Don't tell me worry doesn't help. The things I worry about never happen. Well, if they're not going to happen, don't worry about it. What good does that do? That's the point. Worry never, never prevents a problem. Does it? You worry yourself to death, but it's not going to stop a problem if the problem's going to come. I will tell you this, worry does cause some problems. It causes ulcers. It causes high blood pressure. Sometimes it causes your sugar to go up. Sometimes, I hate to say this one, it causes weight gain. But worry can cause a lot of things. People who are worry warts eat more sometimes, and they try to save all of that worry with that. But worry is a symptom of a stronghold. And then another evidence, the third one that I mentioned, is inability to trust. Inability to trust. Inability to trust God and to trust other people. You ever known people like that? They just don't trust anybody. They don't trust God, but they just don't trust anybody. They're afraid to trust God and others. And here's what they're afraid of. They're afraid that they're going to get hurt. So they just will not allow themselves to trust. Sometimes when people have a bad first marriage, they're afraid to trust anybody in a second marriage and that kind of problem and that kind of deal. And they're afraid they're going to get hurt. Well, let me tell you something. Either way, you're going to get hurt. Life has hurts. Life is going to have those times where you're going to have hurt. Now, here's the problem. Some people, after they're hurt, love to cling and hang on to their pain. They love to hold on to their pain. I have in my library a book called Great Expectation by Charles Dickens. In that book, Miss Havisham was jilted on her wedding day. And she found out that all the guy wanted from her was her money. And she got the word at 8:40 and had all the clocks stopped at 8:40 precisely. The very minute she got the news, decades later, she still wore her wedding dress, and she also left all the food that they were going to eat that night at the table afterwards on the table to rot on the table, and just left it there. You say, she must have been crazy. Well, sometimes we do the same kind of thing, don't we? We cling to our hurt. We want to get even. We don't want to get over. Elbert Hubbard said, to avoid criticism, do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. So if you don't want to be criticized, just be a hermit somewhere in a cave and don't do anything, don't say anything, don't be anything. Now, God doesn't want us to build these walls around us if we've had some of those problems. And if you do, you know, here's what's going to happen. It's going to keep you from getting close to people. And it's going to keep you from loving people. And that's not good. God wants us to be close to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and to love people. Now, you're going to be hurt. And there are going to be times you can count on it that you're going to be hurt. Are you going to be taken advantage of? Yes. If you love people, if you try to be kind to them, if you get to know them, if you reach out to them, you're going to be hurt. But I can promise you this. There'll be more times when you're loved and lifted up and encouraged if you're willing to trust people and become friends and love those people. You're going to have far more good results than bad results if you have that attitude. Now, how are we going to strengthen our faith? Well, you know the answer to that. It's elementary. And that is through the Word of God. We're going to strengthen our faith through the Word. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing, how? By the Word of God. That's the promise of God. Are you fearful? Are you discouraged in some way? Trust the Word. Listen, don't trust your heart or your emotions. Trust the Word of God. That's what we have to do. We have to make up our minds that we're going to trust the Word of God. There's some exercises that we need to have, and that is to go to the Bible and find those verses that deal with fear and the lack of faith. For instance, in Romans 8:34, starting there, listen to what God says. Can you believe God? Is God true? Does God mean what He says? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who, therefore, as a result of that, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Good question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, our peril, our sword? The answer to that is should be an automatic thing. None of these. He goes on to say, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, he said, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at the final destination and what God has promised us. When you focus on the promises, your problems always seem a lot smaller. You see, it's very hard for Satan to get somebody down who is praising God, who is thanking God, and who is really glorifying God. It's very hard for Satan to get somebody like that down. It really is. Oh, he'll fight you. I'm not saying he won't fight you. It's hard for him to get you off track. You're always talking about the goodness of God. I like to be around people talk about how good God is. Don't you? Oh, God was so good. God did this. God did that. God is good. How about people who talk about the grace of God? Oh, the grace of God. How wonderful is the grace of God. People who will talk about how God has provided the provision of God. And we get around people like that. Let me tell you, it's easier for people like that to keep trusting God. It really is. Now, on the other hand, and I hate to be negative, but on the other hand, you have the gripers, you have the complainers, you have the doubters, you have the whiners, you have those who are negative, those who live in self-pity, and all of that kind of thing. It's very hard for them to trust God and to have faith, and it's very easy for Satan to get you off track. And what happens is you end up, or he ends up, with a stronghold of a lack of faith or unbelief in your life. Listen to this little poem entitled, All Your Anxiety. Is there a heart o'erbound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, all your anxiety, leave it there. No other friend so swift will help you. No other friend so quick to hear. No other place to leave your burden. No other one to hear your prayer. Come then at once, delay no longer. Heed his entreaty, kind and sweet. You need not fear a disappointment. You shall find peace at the mercy seat. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat. Leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. Let's stand, please. We bow our heads. Father, I pray now that you would use your word, and I know your word is powerful and it meets needs, touches hearts. And I believe your word is spoken to hearts tonight, not because of me, but because it's your word, because it's true, because of the Holy Spirit driving it into our hearts and souls. And I pray if there's someone here tonight that's struggling with this or any part of this message that was mentioned or anything else that you may deal with them about, I pray, God, that it would be made right tonight. And particularly and especially among others, among other things, those who might be having a difficult time with this particular problem. And God, help them to destroy the stronghold. Or if they are at that very threshold of giving Satan a toehold or giving him a foothold, help them to stop it tonight and bring it to the throne and bring it to Jesus, who can take care of it. We pray and ask it in his name. Amen.